This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. We move on to a new chapter, inshallah. Babu al-Hathi ala al-Izdiyadi min al-Khayri fi awakhir al-Umur. It's actually encouragement to do more goodness towards the end of one's life. قال الله تعالى أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ قال ابن عباس والمحققون معناه أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ 60 سنة ويؤيده الحديث الذي سنذكره إن شاء الله تعالى وقيل معناه 18 سنة وقيل 40 سنة وقاله الحسن والكلبي ومسروق ونقل عن ابن عباس أيضا ونقلوا أن أهل المدينة كانوا إذا بلغ أحدهم 40 سنة تفرغ للعبادة وقيل هو البلوغ وقوله تعالى وجاءكم النذير قال ابن عباس والجمهور هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقيل الشيب قال عكرمة وابن عيينة وقاله عكرمة وابن عيينة وغيرهما والله أعلم. This is a new chapter on encouraging one to do more good deeds towards the end of one's life. First he quotes the verse in Surah Fatir where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Basically Allah speaks to people on the Day of Judgment. He says, have not we allowed you to stay on earth, to live on earth long enough to receive the reminder over and over again, that the time that you spent on earth was enough for you to accept the reminder, and the warner was sent to you. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and some of the Mufassirun, they said the meaning of the verse that we have allowed you to stay on earth 60 years. And there's a hadith that talks about this number, 60 years, which is coming soon, inshallah. And some other scholars said it means 18 years, and 18 years is enough for someone to receive the reminder and be reminded. And some said, no, it's 40 years. there's also a narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas that the people in Medina of the Prophet ﷺ, which means the companions of the Prophet ﷺ at the time, when one of them reached the age 40, they would leave everything and they would spend the rest of their life in worship. So more of a retirement. Age 40 in Medina, at the time of the companions and the tabi'een, was the age of retirement. So a person reached 40, they would give up on everything, because it seems that they have established their life to a certain extent, and then they would have tafarrugh, which is complete focus on ibadah, complete focus on worship. Some scholars said, actually the time that is enough for someone to be reminded is reaching puberty. But the strongest, seems what Ibn Abbas said, which is 60 years. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ and the warner has come to you. Ibn Abbas and the majority of the Mufassireen, they say it's the Prophet ﷺ. Other Mufassireen say it is grey hair. Grey hair is a warner. And this actually, there is in the hadith which mentions that some of the prophets, the angel of death came to them to take their soul, and they said, you haven't sent me any warning. He said, I did. I sent you many reminders. And he mentioned one of them was grey hair. That doesn't mean when someone has grey hair early, they're going to die early, by the way. This has no connection. There's no connection at all. Like, for example, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was in his early 40s, his beard and hair were white, were completely grey. Yet Shaykh al-Albani, when he died, he was about 83 years. So he lived a relatively longer life. Okay, here's a hadith, al-hadith al-awwal. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعذر الله إلى امرئ أخر أجله حتى بلغ 60 سنة رواه البخاري. قال العلماء معناه لم يترك له عذرا إذ أمهله هذه المدة. يقال أعذر الرجل إذا بلغ الغاية من العذر. This hadith is from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, Allah's Messenger said, Allah has given enough. Allah has given enough. Allah has given enough to a person if He makes him live till age 60. Till age 60. And the meaning of the hadith is that Allah has given, the other person has no excuse to say, I have not been given enough time on earth, or I have not been given enough chance to receive the revelation or to be reminded. This is reported by Al-Bukhari. So that's what the scholars say. They say basically, if Allah gives someone or makes someone live for 60 years, that means that's enough of a time. And 60 years here is in the lunar calendar. Lunar calendar, which is not even 60 in the... It's around 58 years and a half. 58 years in the solar years. Because we have the lunar years, which are shorter, 10 days shorter than the solar years. So almost every 33 years, you will find the calendar, the lunar calendar, is by 1 year faster. So when someone reaches 60, according to the lunar year, that means in the solar years, they're actually 58 and a few months. Anyway. The second hadith. الثاني عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كان عمر رضي الله عنه يدخلني مع أشياخ بدر فكأن بعضهم وجد في نفسه فقال لما يدخل هذا معنا ولنا أبناء مثله فقال عمر إنه من حيث علمتم فدعاني ذات يوم فأدخلني معهم فما رأيت أنه دعاني يومئذ إلا ليريهم. Okay, that's Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, Umar ibn Khattab, when he was the Khalifa, he used to bring me and allow me to sit with the senior ones among the companions. These are the ones who witnessed the Battle of Badr. So some of them found an issue about this. Why? Because they thought, we have children the same as his age, as Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas is the cousin of the Prophet, and he was young. At that time, he was a teenager. So, why does Umar allow him to come into this kind of gathering where it's all seniors? We have children, why wouldn't we bring our children as well? So Umar al-Khattab, he knew why he was bringing Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he told these, the ones who objected, he said, you know who he is, he's the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. And not only this, he also has knowledge, so he's going to prove it to them. So one day Umar al-Khattab invited Abdullah ibn Abbas to join this gathering with the seniors among the companions. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I realized Umar has a point. There is something he's trying to prove this time, for inviting me this time. Then Umar ibn Khattab asked everyone, he said, مَا تَقُولُونَ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أُمِرْنَا أَن نَحْمَدَ اللَّهِ أُمِرْنَا أَن نَحْمَدَ اللَّهِ وَنَسْتَغْفِرَهُ إِذَا نَصَرَنَا وَفَتَحَ عَلَيْنَا وسكت بعضهم فلم يقل شيئا فقال لي أكذلك تقول يا ابن عباس فقلت له. So Umar al-Khattab said, what do you say, what do you guys have about the Surah An-Nasr? إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. When the victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great conquest comes, and you see people coming or entering into the religion, into Islam in huge numbers, فسبح, make تسبيح بحمد ربك, say سبحان الله وبحمده, فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره, and seek forgiveness from Allah. Allah indeed accepts repentance. إنه كان توابا. So some of those companions, they said, we were commanded to praise Allah and to seek forgiveness when He gives us victory. Others remained silent. They didn't have anything to say about it. So Umar al-Khattab asks Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, what do you have to say about this? So Abdullah ibn, do you agree with them? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, no, it was revealed about something different. So, قال فما تقول قلت هو أجل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلمه له قال إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح وذلك علامة أجلك فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. فقال عمر رضي الله عنه لا أعلم منها إلا ما تقول. رواه البخاري. So Umar ibn Khattab says, what do you think, Abdullah ibn Abbas? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, there's something different. This verse, or this surah, tells or informs the Prophet ﷺ about his imminent death, about his death that was coming soon. So Allah says to him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory comes from Allah in the great context, this is a sign for your death, that your death will be soon after. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. So glorify Allah and make tasbih of Allah and seek His forgiveness. Allah indeed accepts repentance. Umar al-Khattab said, the only thing I know about it is what you said, Ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas knew the reason why these verses were revealed. The point here, the reason Imam al-Nawawi mentions this under the chapter which talks about increasing in goodness towards the end of one's life, is that even the Prophet ﷺ, towards the end of his life, he was directed by Allah to increase in ibadah, increase in worship, to make more tasbih, and to seek Allah's forgiveness, and so on and so forth. So this is, even if the Prophet ﷺ is advised that way, we as well, we need it even more. We humans, we are supposed to, towards the end of one's life, we are supposed to get detached from the dunya and become more attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the people in Medina, once they reached 40, they started dedicating the whole time for worship, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that basically means, not everyone is able to do this, not everyone is able to retire early. What we can do is focus on ibadah towards the end of our lives. And when does this start? 40, at age 40. Next hadith, الثالث, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت ما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة بعد أن نزلت عليه إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح إلا يقول فيها سبحانك ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. وفي رواية في الصحيحين عنها كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. يتأول القرآن, ومعنى يتأول القرآن أن يعمل ما أمر به في القرآن في قوله تعالى فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره. This hadith is from Aisha رضي الله عنها, is collected by Bukhari and Muslim. She said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received سورة النصر, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح, ever since he received this verse, this surah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ would say after every salah, Subhanaka Rabbana wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghfirli. So he would make tasbih of Allah and seek forgiveness. Just like the same surah advises. وفي رواية لمسلم كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول قبل أن يموت سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. قالت عائشة قلت يا رسول الله ما هذه الكلمات التي أراك أحدثتها تقولها؟ قال جعلت لي علامة في أمتي إذا رأيتها قلتها. جاء نصر الله والفتح إلى آخر السورة. In a narration in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ would say before his death, towards the end of his life, he was saying, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ, she says, this is a new dhikr. You didn't say this before. And now you're saying it repeatedly and more often. The Prophet ﷺ said, it was made as a sign for me in my nation, that once I see it, I should be saying this. Which is the conquest, the great conquest, which is Fathu Makkah. When the Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca. There are other narrations to the same effect. Let's move on to the next hadith. الرابع عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال إن الله عز وجل تابع الوحي على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل وفاته حتى توفي أكثر ما كان الوحي عليه. متفق عليه. أنس رضي الله عنه says, this hadith is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased the number of revelations on the Prophet ﷺ towards the end of his life. Towards the end of his life, So when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he had received a lot of revelation before his death. So the frequency of revelation descending on the Prophet ﷺ towards the end of his life was more. It was more frequent. And this, obviously, the Prophet ﷺ being the messenger, when he receives more revelation and he conveys it, that's more righteous deeds for him. الخامس عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبعث كل عبد على ما مات عليه رواه مسلم. This hadith is from Jabir رضي الله عنه, collected by Imam Muslim. He said, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every person will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the state they died upon. What's the relevance? When someone towards the end of their life increase in worship, they are more likely to die while they are doing that act of worship. And there is so many stories, there's countless stories about people. I heard the story from the son of a man. This man, and this is Shaykh Haytham al-Haddad. Shaykh Haytham al-Haddad, he's one of the imams, the leading imams in London, in the UK. His father used to fast a lot. And he died when he was fasting. There's another story from another man in Saudi as well. He used to fast a lot. And he passed away when he was fasting. A person used to increase a lot, do a lot of sujood, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot, and he would spend a long time in sujood, This person passed away when he was in sujood. It was a young person who loves to read the Qur'an. He used to read the Qur'an often, during the day, during the night. He would hold the mushaf and recite Qur'an. When he passed away, when he was reciting Qur'an. So usually when someone does a lot of acts of goodness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that specific act, Allah usually would take that, the soul of that person, when they are engaged in that act of worship. And when someone commits a sin so often, they usually die in that state. So people who listen to a lot of songs and music and so on and so forth, excessively, they usually die in that state when they are listening to that. One of the famous singers in the Arab world, famous singer, he passed away on stage. When he was singing, he passed out. And he started dying in that moment. SubhanAllah. So we have to be careful. This is why what you do most often in life, most likely you would die in that state. So increase in goodness, an act of worship where you find your heart in, as Imam Ibn Taymiyyah advises, do more of this, keep doing more of this, and this is more, it makes it more likely for you, inshallah, that when you die upon this. And which means on the Day of Judgment, when you are resurrected, you will be doing this. There was a person who was doing Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ, the year the Prophet ﷺ made Hajj. And this person was on his camel and he fell off his camel. He fell on his head and he broke his neck and he passed away straight away. When the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he said, كَفِّنُوهُ بِإِحْرَامِهِ. You know, like shroud him with his own ihram, with his own sheets. فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. On the Day of Judgment, he will be resurrected saying, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. So the state you die in, that's the state you're going to be resurrected on the Day of Judgment on. You will be according to that state. Okay, we move on to a new chapter. بَابُ بَيَانِ كَثْرَةِ طُرُقِ الْخَيْرِ. And that's a beautiful chapter. A chapter clarifying the huge number of good deeds or the pathways to goodness. There's a lot of paths to goodness. There's not only one or two or a handful. There's a huge number of pathways to goodness. قال الله تعالى وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whatever good you do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. Allah knows of it. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ. Whatever good you do, Allah knows about it. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does even an atom's weight of good, then Allah, or He will see it on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever does righteousness, then it will be for himself or for herself. وَالْآيَاتُ فِي الْبَابِ كَثِيرًا. There are so many verses talking to the same effect. As to the ahadith, الأول عن أبي ذر جندب أو جندب ابن جنادة رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أي الأعمال أفضل؟ قال الإيمان بالله والجهاد في سبيله. قلت أي الرقاب أفضل؟ قال أنفسها عند أهلها وأكثرها ثمنا. قلت فإن لم أفعل؟ قال تعين صانعا أو تصنع لأخرق. قلت يا رسول الله أرأيت إن ضعفت عن بعض العمل؟ قال تكف شرك عن الناس فإنها صدقة منك على نفسك. متفق عليه. الصانع بالصاد المهملة هذا هو المشهور. وروي ضائعا بالمعجمة أي ذا ضياع من فقر أو عيال ونحو ذلك. والأخرق الذي لا يتقن ما يحاول فعله. Okay, this hadith is from Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه. He said his name is Jundab ibn Junada. He asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he says, Which deeds are the best? أي الأعمال أفضل. The Prophet ﷺ said, الإيمان بالله, to believe in Allah. So belief is an act, because belief is first in the heart and on the tongue and actions. الإيمان has to have these three facets: heart, actions of the heart, belief in the heart, conviction, certainty about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart, and love. Number two, stating it with your tongue, which is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and any good word that you say. And third part of it is the actions. The actions of righteousness. He says, Imanu billah wal jihadu fi sabilihi, and jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I said, because in Islam we have tahrir waqaba, yes, freeing slave people. So he says, which slaves are best to be freed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet ﷺ says, the ones that are most precious and the most expensive. The most precious and the most expensive. قلت فإن لم أفعل. If I'm unable to free a slave, if I'm unable to reach a high level in, for example, jihad في سبيل الله, the Prophet ﷺ said, تعين صانعا أو تصنع لأخرق. You help someone who's trying to do something, you help them do what they do. Or you do something on behalf of a person who lacks the skills. Imagine, he's asking about the best deeds. And he says, I can't free a slave. I can't make jihad fi sabilillah. I'm unable to do it. What can I do? The Prophet ﷺ says, تُعِينُ صَانِعًا. Someone who does something, whatever they do, as long as it's good, if you give them a hand, then that's a great act. Or there is someone who doesn't have the skills, lacks the skills of doing something, so you do it for them. Someone is unable to shop, you do the shopping for them. Someone is unable to collect their mail, you collect the mail for them, you deliver it to them. Someone is carrying even their bags, and it's hard for them, you help, give them a hand. The Prophet ﷺ is saying these are amongst the best deeds to do. And for us, we don't realize that this is actually part and parcel of Islam. You find someone doing something, anything that is good, you help them out, that's a great act of worship. It's a great act of worship. And this is why, this is the chapter of the numerous gateways or the numerous pathways to goodness. So I said to the Prophet ﷺ, what if I'm unable to do these, if I have some weakness, I'm unable to do these things fully. The Prophet ﷺ says, تَكُفُّ شَرَّكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. You hold back your harm and you don't inflict it on any human being. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, this is صَدَقَةٌ مِنْكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. He said, this is an act of صَدَقَةٌ. This is an act of charity upon yourself. So holding back your harm is a great act of worship. Harm, that means saying a bad word to someone, backbiting someone, slandering someone, or physical harm, or emotional harm, any kind of harm. You hold it back from people, it will be written for your sadaqah. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened so many pathways to goodness. And that's from the mercy of Allah. And that shows that Islam is not only the rituals that we do, which are the core of Islam and the central part of it, but Islam includes everything you could engage in life. You help out someone, that's a great act of worship. Someone who lacks the skill, you help them out, that's a great act of worship. You hold back your ability to harm people, that's a great act of worship. This is why Islam is versatile. So any kind of goodness that humans do, that humans are able to do, it could be an act of worship. It could be an act of worship. Let's move on to the next hadith. الثاني عن أبي ذر أيضا رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يصبح على كل سلامة من أحدكم صدقة فكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن المنكر صدقة ويجزئ من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى رواه مسلم والسلامة بضم السين المهملة وتخفيف اللام وفتح الميم المفصل. This hadith from Abu Dharr again is collected by Muslim. Allah's Messenger says, every morning when you wake up, on every joint in your body there is a sadaqah that you have to give. You have to give a sadaqah for each joint you have in your body. So the Prophet shows how we can pay off the sadaqah. When you say subhanallah, that's sadaqah. When you say alhamdulillah, that's sadaqah. You say La ilaha illallah, that's sadaqah. You say Allahu Akbar, sadaqah. Enjoying the good, that's sadaqah. You forbid the evil, that's sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, suffices for all of this, you pray two rak'ah for duha, after sunrise. You pray two rak'ah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this covers for all the sadaqahs that are obligatory upon your joints to give on that day. الثالث عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عرضت علي أعمال أمتي حسنها وسيئها فوجدت في محاسن أعمالها الأذى يماط عن الطريق ووجدت في مساوئ أعمالها النخاعة تكون في المسجد لا تدفن رواه مسلم. This hadith again from Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه. The Prophet ﷺ says, the deeds of my ummah, the deeds that are done by my nation, by members of my nation, by my people, by Muslims, the good of them, the good among them, and the bad among them, the good deeds and the bad deeds. So I found among the best deeds of my ummah, al-adha yumatu an al-tariq. Someone finds something harmful on people's way, he takes it away, he removes it. It could be a branch that harms people as they walk, you take it away. It could be some dirt, you remove it away. It could be anything. And I found among the worst of the deeds of my ummah, the spit of someone, you find it in the masjid, and it's not removed or it's not covered. By the way, just to tell you about the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, what do you think the floor of the Prophet's masjid was made of? What do you think it was made of? Carpet? Huh? Not sand. Not carpet. Not tile. Pebbles. Pebbles. Small pebbles. Small pebbles. Small pebbles. Wasn't dirt. Wasn't sand, it wasn't tiles, it wasn't carpet, it was pebbles, small pebbles. Small pebbles. So, the Prophet ﷺ says, amongst the worst that I saw in the actions of my people is there's a spit or there's saliva that is found in the masjid and no one removes it. So among the best of deeds is to remove something harmful from people's ways. And among the worst is to see something bad, especially in the masjid, some impurity, and leaving it where it is. So that shows that if you see something bad in the masjid, pick it up. Put it in the bin. الرابع عنه أن ناسا قالوا يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون كما نتصدق ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أوليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون به إن بكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن المنكر صدقة وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة قالوا يا رسول الله يأتي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له فيها أجر قال أرأيتم لو وضعها في حرام أكان عليه فيها وزر فكذلك إذا وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر رواه مسلم الدثور بالثاء المثلثة الأموال واحدها دثر Again from Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه that a group of people came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they told him you know the rich ones among us have taken all the أجر they pray as we pray they fast as we fast but they have more wealth and they are giving in charity so they're taking the reward The Prophet ﷺ says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you what you the charity that you can give. They said, how? He said, when you make tasbih, subhanallah, that's sadaqah for you. It's written as you have given charity. You say, Allahu Akbar, that's written for you charity. You say, Alhamdulillah, that's charity. You say, La ilaha illallah, that's charity. You enjoin good, you advise someone, that's charity. You prohibit something that's bad, advise someone who's doing something bad, try to stop them, that's charity. And the Prophet ﷺ says, even one of you gets intimate with his wife, that's an act of charity. So they were amazed. They said, O Messenger of Allah, one of us fulfills their desires, and it's written as charity, as sadaqah for them, as a good deed. The Prophet ﷺ says, What if the person fulfills or responds to his desire in a haram way? Would it be written as a sin? They said, yes. He says, similarly, when he does it rightfully, it is written for him as a sadaqah, as a charity. So that shows you in Islam, almost every move can be an act of charity. Can be an act of charity. And by the way, this kind of approach shows us that something very serious that happened in our ummah. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was nothing called practicing people, practicing Muslims and normal Muslims. There was no divide like this. There's no divide. In Arabic they call him mutadayyin وغير mutadayyin. Someone who is practicing Islam, serious about practicing Islam, and that's a normal Muslim. There's nothing like this in Islam. There was nothing like this at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. In the early generations, there was nothing like this, and it shouldn't be today as well. There's nothing like, oh, I'm a practicing Muslim, I'm not a practicing Muslim. There's nothing like this. There's a Muslim, and that's it. There's just a Muslim. You have sins, we all have sins. There are obligations I don't fulfill, all of us have obligations that we do not fulfill. So we all Muslims, there's this kind of categorization, this is a practicing Muslim, this is not a practicing Muslim, it has no basis in Islam whatsoever. Whatsoever. So this is why, you know why? Because this classification has taken, okay, practicing Muslims, there are things they do, there's a certain way they dress up, there's a certain way they talk, that's them. But there is normal Muslims, okay, they do whatever they want. And that's not true. That's not true. This separates between life and worship. And we can see from these hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that normal acts removing the harm from people's way. Something is blocking people's way, you remove it. You find some kind of dirt, something dirty in the masjid, you remove it. Someone, you know, responds to, or someone answers their sexual need in a halal way. That's an act of worship and you get reward for it. You get charity, considered to be charity for you. So that shows Islam is about life. Islam is not about rituals. There are these rituals that every Muslim is supposed to do. But there is everything you can do in life, as long as you do it the halal way, you are getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's considered to be acts of worship. So when we categorize, this is a practicing Muslim, or there are specific things practicing Muslims do, but not every Muslim has to do that. And that's problematic. It's problematic. So you could be just an average human being, but you could be closer to Allah than a lot of the people that we call practicing. Why? Because you do a lot of righteousness through helping out people. You help someone in need, or someone needs some support, some hand, you give them a hand. Or you remove, every time you see something that is harmful, something blocking people's way, you remove it. You see some dirt in the masjid, you remove it. You smile in someone's face. You answer your desires in a lawful, halal ways. And so on. In another hadith, the Prophet says, حَتَّى اللُّقْمَةَ تَضَعُهَا فِي زَوْجَتِكَ لَكَ بِهَا أَجْرٌ. Even a mouthful. Some food you put in your wife's mouth. When you feed your children, when you feed your spouse, when you bring food on the table in your house, the Prophet says there's great reward in this. So we have limited Islam to certain things, and we have, okay, that's life. You know, you help out a homeless person, a poor person, you smile in someone's face, or you say a nice word of praise to someone, random person in the street, or any kind of kindness, any kind of good deed that you do. This is part and parcel of Islam. But we have separated it. We have separated it. Oh, it has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is all about the rituals. You have to dress up in a certain way. You have to speak in a certain way. You have to, you know, hang around with certain type of people, and so on and so forth. There's nothing like this in Islam. Anything simple you can do, as long as it's halal and good, you're getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And that's what Islam is about. So Islam is about life. Islam is about how to live life. And doesn't hijack your life. Islam tells you all the good things that you are designed to do as a human being, that we call these things humanity, right? You know, these are these videos that you find on YouTube that they tell you restoring faith in humanity, acts of kindness. They show random people. Someone, driver, stops the traffic because they see an older lady or an older man trying to cross the street and they are unable to do this. So this person stops their car and they stop the traffic and they help that person, especially when there is no like crossings, pedestrian crossings in different countries. So someone sees a cat stuck in the middle of the street and they happen to carry this cat and get it out of danger. That's Islam. You get reward for this. The Prophet ﷺ told about the man and the woman, you know, who found the dog thirsty. They got the water and they offered it to that dog. Once it was a man, once it was a woman. And the woman was a prostitute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her for that act, that she offered water to the dog. And that's what Islam, don't make it complicated. Islam is about living life. Islam is about being the best human being you could ever be. And because of that categorization, you find sometimes when people start practicing, they become nasty. They become hard. They become strict. They become aggressive. They become critical. They become negative. Why? Because they've grown up with this kind of categorization. Islam is all about holding on to certain rituals. Anything else? No. And yesterday, Shaykh Abdullah Hakim Quick spoke about this, and he called it ghurur, he called it deception. Sometimes people start practicing Islam, and they follow certain aspects of the sunnah, but they start disrespecting people. Why do you follow the sunnah here, but you completely go against the sunnah and disregard it in this aspect? Why? It's selective, you pick and choose. Why? Because unfortunately, when people fall into this trap, or this kind of categorization, they stop seeing Islam as a natural way of life. You have to become more of a robot in order to follow Islam. You have to go out of the natural way of living. And we said previously, Islam, when it comes in an environment, whatever good in that environment, Islam confirms it and keeps it. Doesn't change it. The Prophet ﷺ does not change. There are so many things about the life of the Arabs at the time that Islam kept. Islam kept them. Why? Because they were essentially good. So Islam does not deconstruct, does not demolish everything, then start building from scratch. Islam doesn't do this. The Prophet ﷺ never did that. Whatever good there was, the Prophet ﷺ approved it, he kept it, but the things that were wrong, he fixed them. That's it. That's how Islam is. So the simple things you do, acts of kindness, being nice to your child, providing for your family, checking on a relative, just calling them up and say, how are you today? I hope things are well. How are your kids? How's your family? And so on and so forth. That's a great act of worship. Just a great act of worship. When you are tempted to block someone who is parking, or to park in a place for the disabled when you are not, when you resist that kind of temptation, that's an act of worship. You get rewarded for it. You get rewarded for it. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying here that a person approaches their wife intimately and they get rewarded for it. And the companions were puzzled. How come? The Prophet ﷺ says, if they did it in haram, wouldn't it be written as a sin? They said, yes. He says, when they do it in halal, it's written as, they are given reward for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll close with this hadith, al-khamis anhu, قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق رواه مسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, don't ever belittle an act of worship or an act of goodness, even if it be that when you meet your brother you give him a smile. So Allah is saying, or the Prophet is saying, do not undermine good deeds. Even if they are small, they could be the reason for you to enter paradise. Could be the reason, small act. As simple as smiling in someone's face, the Prophet says, do not look down upon it. Do not belittle that. Do not undermine the value and the reward of such a simple act of kindness. And the Prophet calls it ma'ruf, which Islam calls for, is goodness. Goodness, it becomes an act of worship. So, this shows that Allah has made the pathways or to paradise, the acts of goodness, so many and abundant. Whereas the things that are haram in Islam are very little. Are very little. You can actually make a list on them. But if you try to make a list on good deeds, you won't be able to enumerate. You can't count them. No way. It's an endless list. But with these sins, the haram things, you can make a list. You can count them. They're just a small number. A small number. That shows you Islam is all about living life. Living life. There are people that sometimes, and I need to stress this because I've seen this happen over and over again. There are people very nice with people, very good, and people love them. Like they have a very pleasant presence. When these people somehow start to practice, not all of them, but some of them start to practice, they become very negative. People say, well, I miss the old person. Even their parents complain. They say, I miss that jolly person who used to have this smile on their face. When they entered the room, everything lit up and so on and so forth. Now, I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them very critical, very negative, very judgmental, very aggressive, and have this kind of enmity to everyone. This gives a bad image of Islam even to our Muslim families. To our Muslim families. So, in Islam, you cannot pick and choose. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, everything that is essentially good is part and parcel of Islam. Everything about your daily life that is good. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنِّي لَأَحْتَسِبُ نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ قَوْمَتِي. He says, I seek reward from Allah in my sleep, that when I go sleep, I expect Allah to give me a reward as I am sleeping. That's what he says. Just as I expect reward from Allah when I am awake and I'm doing some good things. Because when you take care of your body, that's a good deed. When you take enough rest, so you can use your body for good things when you are awake, that's a good deed. You get rewarded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look after this trust that Allah has given you, your body, it's Allah's gift to you, it's Allah's trust. You look after it, you get rewarded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you say, that's not Islam. That's what Islam is. That's what Islam is. Anything as simple as earning halal, providing for your family, wearing good clothes for the sake of just being nice and tidy and enjoying Allah's blessings upon you, you get rewarded for that. You see how great the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? You can gain reward with almost everything you do as long as you keep that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has made the ways to paradise, the pathways to paradise so open, so abundant. Wherever you turn, you're going to find them in front of you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us do more righteousness, and be aware and conscious of all of these opportunities around us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Barakallah.